one speaks. Check one, two. Dion speaks about an awesome pastor, and I'm like looking up, where's this okay? He's left the building. Thank you for your kind words, sir. So there's this little girl that's walking down the road with her dad, and she's holding a tiny little girl and big dad, nice big working man's hands, fingers like bananas, and she's holding on to his hand like this. And they're walking down the street, and she keeps saying, "Daddy, hold on to my hand." And dad says, "I'm holding." She keeps saying, "Hold on to my hand." Dad says, "I'm holding." And doesn't understand why. He says, "But my sweetheart, I'm holding your hand." She says, "No, Daddy, I'm holding your hand. And I'm only little, and I could let go. But if you hold my hand, I know you will never let go." What a difference, isn't it? This morning I'd like to speak about God's faithfulness. And rightly so, we've said a lot about the things that God is able to do and the things that God can do. But the things that God cannot do are just as significant as the things that He can do. This morning we'll just look at one or two things that God cannot do. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me. So we're going to answer it here. I know we've got the desk back from repairs, so there's obviously one or two things that we need to sort out. But I want to look at this morning as things that God cannot do. I think that little story that about that little girl is so true about God's faithfulness. And I think the times that we're living in, it's if we take our eyes off the promises of God and His nature, it's easy for us to lose sight of the things that He has promised for us. So one of the things that that God cannot do is lie. God can't lie. How many of us have ever told a lie before? Put up your hand. Okay. So, and how many of you have ever killed somebody before? Well, how can I believe you? You just said you're a liar. So it's impossible for God to lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." And one of the things about the enemy is that the enemy will continuously bombard us with thoughts and ideas about our worth and our value and about God's faithfulness all the time. One of the most common denominators or common factors in issues that you're dealing with people in counseling issues is a low self-image, because the enemy is continuously wanting to destroy our self-image and running down the worth that we are and the value that we have to God. And the scripture says that God cannot lie. The reason why the enemy does this is because this is in his nature. That's what he can do and all that he can do. He'll continuously bombard us with these thoughts, because John 8 verse 44, Jesus is addressing crowds, and in the crowds there's people that are claiming their worth or saying and describing who their father is. And Jesus simply, in his diplomacy and his care and concern about not offending anybody and about being politically correct, none of those things of course are true, Jesus says this of these people. He says, "You are of your father the devil." Straight out. It's like, "Jy is Satan se kinders." Not, "I don't want to offend you and I don't want to hurt you," and you know, straight out. You're of your father the devil. What does he qualify? How does he qualify that? Going to say, because look at the works that you do. And in John 8, verse 44, the B part, he says, speaking about the devil, he says, "When he lies, it is consistent with his character." Speak about the devil. "For he is a liar and the father of lies." So yeah, on the one hand, you have God who cannot lie, and the devil who's continuously trying to lie to you about your self-worth And all he can do is lie. And I've never ever wanted to be a kind of a preacher and a kind of a pastor that always preaches feel-good messages. Now, there's a time and a place for that. But a feel-good message is all you need to preach to just fill a church. You just keep preaching all the feel-good messages all the time when just people get feel-good and get lifted up. And yes, there's a time and a place for that, and we're supposed to do that as well. But there also comes a time when we've got to be real and open and honest with each other and say the things that we don't like to hear. Can you say amen? We need to address issues in our life that are not in line with God and be open and real with each other. We need to have people in our lives that love us enough to tell us when we're wrong. We need that. But this that I'm going to say this morning should make you feel good, and it must make you feel good. I want you, my brother and my sister, to understand that you are valuable and precious to God. You are valuable and precious to God. You are loved by God beyond your wildest imagination. The greatest, strongest, most powerful feeling of love and affection that you've ever had towards anything or anybody doesn't come close to the love that God has for you. You are loved this morning. And God's faithfulness is seen in his promises towards us and how the Spirit encourages us and the things that God reminds us of. So when the devil has lied to you about things, I want you to be encouraged this morning that God loves you. Now, it's very real and possible that we become less faithful when we cannot see or understand, and we spoke about this last week, God's processes, his purposes, and God's timing. It's easy to become less faithful and to have our focus shifted off God's faithfulness. But that still doesn't change God's faithfulness. When a Christian in sincerity misrepresents God, when a preacher has his doctrine a little bit messed up, or his hermeneutics, his interpretation of the scripture, when he has it a little bit skew and messed up, it does not change who God is. It doesn't change who God is. And it's that we need to encourage ourselves with this morning. That God's love for us does not change. When we are unfaithful, God remains faithful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. You see, God's love for us and his blessings that he bestows upon us is not just something that he does. It's who he is. It is who he is. We said last week that we spoke about God's abundance. Why he does things in such abundance? He cannot help himself. It is who he is. And it's in times when our focus is taken off the faithfulness of God and our worth to him, then we need to remind ourselves that when we misrepresent God or when we become less faithful, it does not change who God is. God remains faithful. The disciple known as Doubting Thomas, Jesus had appeared to several people, many people in fact, and Jesus is before him and the other disciples explaining who he is. And Thomas still says, no, Lord. I wondered about this, you know, but did Thomas like not recognize him? Was there no like physical resemblance? I think then all probability was, and he recognized that this is Jesus. But Thomas, like everyone else, came to realize that Jesus was actually crucified, that he actually died. And Thomas says, no, Lord, you know, show me the wounds. Show me where the nails went in and where the sword was pierced in your side, the thorns on your head. Show me the wounds, and then I'll believe. And then Thomas places his hands on Jesus' wounds, and then he says, yeah, I now believe that you're the one. And Jesus, being Jesus, encouraged Thomas. He says, Thomas, you know, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those that believe and yet have not seen. I'm going to do a practical demonstration this morning. I'm going to use Brother Leonard over here. Brother Leonard, if you can come forward, please, sir. No. I think let's stand over here that other people can also see. Leonard? take the water. Why did Leonard take the water? Thank you. Give Leonard a round of applause for being such a good water taker. Simple illustration. Why did Leonard take the water? Because he could see it. Because he could see it. And sometimes God is speaking to us and he's saying, my child, I'm bringing this breakthrough. I'm bringing this answer. And we're looking at what appears to be an empty hand. And we have this doubting Thomas attitude. He says, no, Lord, this can't be. Show me the wounds. Let me place my hands in the wounds and then I'll believe. And Jesus makes a promise that we today can be partakers of, and we can receive the benefit of that. He says, blessed are they that believe yet have not seen. How many of you have physically seen Jesus? Now, in my walk with God, I've had an encounter where in the spiritual realm I perceived the Lord, but like physically say that I can reach out and touch Jesus, no. And yet, we here, we believe in Jesus. This man that claimed to be the Son of God, walked the face of the earth, done all sorts of miracles. Now, in a time like this where we, some people believe that the gifts of the Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit in terms of miracles and stuff like that do not happen anymore and will not happen anymore. It's something that happened in times recorded in the Bibles, but not today. And amongst other things, people describe that as cessationist. Things have ceased. But God still does miracles. Try and convince somebody who's been on the receiving end of a miracle that God doesn't do miracles. Try and convince that person you ain't going to do it because they've been on the receiving end of miracles. But folks, we're living in a time where it appears to us, specifically in our Christian circles, dat die wonderwerke van God maar skaars is, nee. Let's be real. It appears as if the miracles of God are like, you know, few and far between. We hear something there and we hear something here. We're not living in a time where like daily God is doing miracles. I think one of the reasons for that is that we also need to redefine our understanding of what a miracle is. And then also, let's be honest with each other. The times and the comfort and the circumstances in which we live, most of the time it doesn't require a miracle. Hello? Think about it, doesn't require a miracle. We have modern medicine. Jy voel nie so lekker nie. Jy hoef nie vir die hoofpyn te bid nie. Pop net 'n voelgoedpilletjie of 'n kalmeerpilletjie of een van 'n ding. That's just one example. So in the difficult times that we are living in, it becomes easier for us to lose sight of the promises of God. En dan gou vinnig ons vergeet ons vinnig van God se faithfulness. We forget about that. So times like that, the enemy comes and he uses the same tactic in the garden. Did God really say? He sows that seed of doubt. Is God really going to like come? Look at the economy. It's tough for everybody. Well, you know, why must it be different for you? Is God really going to come with a breakthrough? And in John 20, verse 29, Jesus says this to Thomas. He says, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are part of that company that Jesus is speaking about. What an awesome, awesome, awesome privilege. The prophets of old people in the Old Testament were told about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Joel 2 and verse 28, the prophet Joel prophesied and he said, there'll come a time when the Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh. The old men will dream dreams and the young men will see visions. I still have visions. So I guess that categorizes me in a certain age group. But I also dream. Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, and that time has come. The time when the Holy Spirit was poured out on certain individuals for certain specific purposes. The time has come where any and every individual that wants the Spirit of God can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just talking about talking in tongues. That's just one of the things, man. We receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God enables you and fills you and equips you to do the work of the ministry. Jesus has described us there. He says, blessed are they that believe, yet have not seen. Why? Because God is faithful. So where are we going with this morning?
Just because we cannot see
what God is up to, or we don't understand His processes, His purpose, and His timing, doesn't mean that He's not up to good. He's not up, doesn't mean that He's not up to something good for us. Doesn't mean because we can't see it. Doesn't mean because the one hand is empty, there's no water in that hand. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think or even imagine. We looked at that last week. Doesn't mean because we can't see it that He's not up to something good for us and in our lives. Now, there's no ways that a simple brick can see and understand the purpose and the role that it plays in a building. I mean, it's just a simple brick. Now, we're not bricks. Sometimes ons is hardkoppig en hardnekkig soos bakstene. But there's no ways that a brick in the hands of a master builder can see the picture like the architect sees according to the plans. And before it even gets to the place where it's written and the plans are drawn up and submitted to the council for approval, where is that building a reality? In the mind and the imagination of the architect. Think about this, for example. I challenge you, when you go home, check this in your Bible and see if I'm not speaking the truth this morning. We've heard of the story of the Tower of Babel, right? That's where we get the word Babel on that Babel, because they decided, let's build a temple, a tower, all the way up to God. So God said, okay, let's just confuse their languages a little bit, and then we'll see how well they get on with the soul building process. The Bible says, they spoke amongst themselves, and they purposed in their heart to build this tower. And the Bible shows us that not one single brick was laid on another. And God said, they've purposed to build this tower because they are one in purpose, they committed. Nothing they commit to do will be impossible for them. And God confused their language. What does the Bible teach us? Their sense of purpose and unity was so strong in building that tower that in the spiritual realm, God realized it's done. It's done. The Bible doesn't mention they hadn't even started building that tower, that structure, to try and get to God. God confused their language. If you don't believe me, go home, read it in the scriptures, and you'll see it there. Doesn't mention that the tower was built. Check it out. And God's plans and purposes for you remain true and steadfast regardless of what you see. So when we feel like we this brick in this, and there's this whole big picture that we do not see, know that there's a master builder and the architect of your life that is putting something together, that if you believe Him and stick it through with God to the end, you will be amazed in the end. I use this example to illustrate the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, now you are living stones, not the rolling stones, living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. Somebody once made the statement, we have this idea that church is about us. God has this idea that church is about Him. And folks, let's be real with each other. And I put myself in this category. We place so much emphasis on our buildings, isn't it? I mean, we place so much emphasis on our buildings. And yes, it's lacquer to have a place where we can get together and a baptismal font and sound equipment. And one day in our new building, it's going to be even better. Hallelujah. Why do we need a new building so that we don't have to pay off somebody else's bond? Isn't it lacquer, ni? That it's really ours. Yes, it's nice. We can have aircon and comfortable chairs and carpeted and to try and do things in the spirit of excellence. But what God sees is this beautiful picture that He has of His people dwelling together in unity and love, celebrating who He is. That's what He sees. That's what He sees. And it says here, we as living stones, each one of us, precious and valuable to God. It says that he's busy building us into his spiritual temple. We're precious in the sight and the hands of God. And what's the gist of what I'm trying to say this morning when it comes to God's faithfulness? It doesn't mean because we see an empty hand that God isn't up to something good for our lives. And when people misrepresent him and we misrepresent him, or he can't be found or can't be seen, doesn't change who he is. He remains faithful even when we are unfaithful. In the Great Commission, Jesus gives instructions to his disciples. Matthew 28, often speak about this from verse 18. He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He qualifies what follows up in his next statement. He says, I've been given all of authority. I have the right to say this, what I'm going to say. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth, he says. Therefore, because of this authority, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Jesus promises that he will stick to us if we let him. He will never leave us or forsake us, and he will be with us always. We said it's easy to become swept up into all the negativity around us and lose sight of God's promises and his faithfulness. But let's remember that, like the little girl walking down the street, holding on to her daddy's finger, she says, no, daddy, hold on to my hand, because I'm only little and I might let go. But I know, daddy, that you will never let go. Let's remind ourselves of God's faithfulness and his promises to us. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, I saw on social media that, I don't know if it's a movie or a book or whatever, I think a movie now, they want to do a movie where they portray Jesus as a female, as a woman. Also in social media a while ago, the first satanic church has registered itself in South Africa. There's been satanic churches around all the time, and I've seen this interview with the people. They do interview with these people, and they look like regular folks like you and me, but you know, one of the guys looks like a pincushion. He's got body piercings all over and it's ingekleer and what else? I'm not knocking that. I mean, whatever floats your boat, God bless you. And they showed you a picture of a guy reading or paging through, known as the Satanic Bible, written by Anton LaVey, who's passed on. This is a guy that wrote the Bible. You know what Anton LaVey said when he was on his deathbed as his spirit was busy leaving him? Oh my God, what have I done? It's pretty loud down there. I don't know. You know? So, they try and change the Bible and take certain words out, and you know, that's why some people are so blunt on sekere vertalings. At the end of the day, folks, the most accurate translations that we have today, even in those, we're finding faults. Why? Because Scripture says that God is watching over his word to perform it. Do you think he needs clever people to make sure that his word gets across? No. No. So no matter how they try and change the Bible or falsify this or falsify that, doesn't change who God is. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that didn't give up on the garden, that said, no, Lord, let your will be done, not mine. The same Jesus that let himself be nailed to the cross. The same Jesus that appeared to his disciples. Same Jesus that said to Thomas, here, feel the wounds. And the same Jesus that said, I will be with you till the end of the age. That same Jesus is the same Jesus today that will take any person that is willing to let him do so. Take your life and build it into this beautiful spiritual temple that he is busy building. So to summarize, what do we speak about? The things that God cannot do is just as important and significant as the things that he can. And God cannot lie. Next thing we looked at is that the enemy, the devil, the father of lies, is that's all that he can do. Continuously wants to lie to you about God's faithfulness and about your value to God. I want to add this as we close, is that you cannot add to your value to God by doing good things. And you cannot take away from your value to God by doing sinful things. You see, you're not worth something because Jesus died for you, but it's because you're worth something that he died for us in the first place. You're not now worth something because now you believe and now you come to church and no. You're worth something to God even before any of that. That's God's nature. When Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water and they heard this voice say, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus hadn't even started his public ministry. No preaching, no miracle, no raising of the dead, no opening. He'd done nothing. He was baptized, came out of the water, came up out of the water, and God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." It's faith that pleases God, the scripture says. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, I believe it is. It's impossible to please God without faith. So if you're sitting here this morning and you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, God is pleased with you. My brother, my sister, for the folks online watching, I want to encourage you with that this morning. God is faithful and he cannot lie. So when we become distracted by all the negativity around us, remind yourself of God's faithfulness. Find scriptures to remind yourself of God's faithfulness and how he's been faithful and true in your life. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Before we close off this morning and pray with each other, I'm going to ask the deep end to come up and play one more song and minister to us in music one more time. We're excited to introduce to you something that's been around for a while, but we are implementing it for the first time for us as well. It's called Church Online. So there's various social media platforms, and one of the things that this time of lockdown where we were not allowed to get together has taught us is the value and importance of social media and online ministry. And we haven't had something regularly on social media before, but because we were confined to our homes and had to communicate with each other that way, we've seen all the more how important such a platform is. So by the grace of God, we are going to continue to raise the standard and do things better and better and better. So we have Facebook, we have YouTube, we have our website where people can go on and listen to the audio recordings of the sermons and get the notes there. But there are many, many more ways in which we can reach people. And we found, without going into too much detail about it, that people just basically scroll past that which is on Facebook, and people tend to watch stuff more on YouTube. YouTube seems to be the place where people go to watch video clips. They don't actually go to Facebook to watch video clips, but they do all sorts of other things on Facebook and just scroll past. So there's this platform known as Church Online where we're going to be reaching out to people as well. So this afternoon, at 5 o'clock, 5 p.m., after the MotoGP. MotoGP's back. Hallelujah. And why are we so excited about it? Just because it's lekker, but also because the first time in history, now I'm totally off the topic of Church Online, but I'll get back to that, is that there's a South African participating in the MotoGP series. It's Brad Binder. And his brother Darren is competing, I think, Moto 3. Darren Binder is competing in Moto 3, so there's history taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. So get behind Brad and his brother Darren and support them and watch it if you can. Or just, if you don't watch it, just think that there's somebody representing South Africa at the MotoGP. So I was talking off. So after the MotoGP, Church Online. So there's this thing called Church Online, and we find that Church Online, well, you might say, well, there is Facebook and there is YouTube. Why do we need something else? Well, when you see what Church Online is about, you'll see how different it is. We found that it is the most interactive platform where people can feel like they've participated in something corporate. So at 5 o'clock, that which has happened here now in this time will come on Church Online, and you can find it on the internet at bikerschurchvol.online.church. Okay? bikerschurchvol.online.church. And you will see what happened here will take place there. And in the future, for those folks that are not able to be at church for whatever reason, can go on there, and you can have access to it a few minutes before the time. You can chat with people. You can comment. You can ask for prayer requests. Prayer requests will be answered for now after the time and stuff like that. So it's we're really, really excited about that. We'd like you to go on and share your comments and share your experiences with us. So it's called bikerschurchvol.online.church, and what has happened here this morning will be redisplayed and rebroadcast there once again at 5 o'clock. And the idea of that is that, like, it comes and it goes and the message is broadcast and that's it. But we're going to be looping that message as well as we develop that platform to be able to minister to people. So we'd really sincerely ask for your prayers for us about that as well. It's not just to look fancy on the internet or to have yet another social media platform, but it is really a purpose in our heart is to reach out to people in as many ways as possible, to make people's online experience or the experience where they're sitting in front of a computer or a smartphone or whatever as rewarding and as beneficial and as big a blessing as we possibly can. So one more time, bikerschurchvol.online.church. Click on there and enjoy that with us. Until such time, thank you for making the time to visit with us again this morning, and I trust that God will continue to minister the truth of His word into your lives. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His supernatural peace. We love you, and take care, stay safe, and stay healthy. Over to the deep end. Thank you, guys. Bless you.